You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
Well, I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show, the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. Before we get there, though, I've already recorded tomorrow's episode. On tomorrow's episode, I said, hey, guys, time's up. We're going to move on to our next two winners. Sorry, my microphone is starting to break up. And that is Mad Fan and Kyle from Madison. Here's the deal. I just came on here to check in here, and Eli from Eli from Duluth, he checked in. So, 305 Mike McGee has not hit me up. We're going to have a three-way race for one more ticket. 305 Mike McGee, Mad Fan, Kyle from Madison. The first one that messages me, and I will check the timestamps, if you message me in different places, gets the final one. That's the best way I can do this. I thought it was going to be clean and smooth. Mad Fan, Kyle from Madison, bing, bang, boom, you guys win your thing and we'll be done. But Eli from Duluth just hit me up, so that's what we're going to do. First one that messages me out of you three is going to get the final FOGO giveaway. Anyways, with that said, why don't we go ahead and get started with Daryl in Lubbock, Texas.
Hey, Ryan, it's Daryl. Hey, so I was just listening to the Packers Unscripted podcast this morning.
Yeah.
And they just said a stat that I guess I just didn't realize going into the draft or while the draft was going on. The Packers in the second and third round had more picks than the entire NFC North combined. And then on the third day, we had 10 picks. And the entire NFC North remaining teams had 12 picks, I believe is what they said. It just kind of, when I heard it said like that and I really thought about it, it just shows the Packers are on a whole other level compared to the rest of the NFC North teams. And I just, thank God I'm a Packers fan.
Exactly.
I love it. Anyways, man, you have a good rest of your week. I love the way our draft went. Super pumped for the linebacker we got, Edrin Cooper, and then our running back. Those are my two favorite picks for sure. But, talk to y'all soon. Later, man. Go back, go.
Yeah, and that's why, we talk about all this nonsense about who won the draft and all the grades and all that stuff. And yes, I mean, Caleb Williams was the number one pick, and he's a quarterback, and he's got all these incredible skill sets. So if you had to pick one guy to add the most value over the course of their career, that might be the safest bet, unless you want to penalize him for being a Bear, which I would understand. But at the end of the day, if you want to win the draft, you do it by having more picks, period. That's how you win the draft, because otherwise we're just pretending we know who was a good pick and who wasn't, and we don't. We don't know that. Well, he was a reach, and he was a steal, and diddly 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 diddly. The Packers won the draft because they had a ton of picks. And unlike the Bears, who acquired their value by sucking, the Packers acquired their value by making wise decisions. Now, obviously we're not going to have an Aaron Rodgers to trade going forward, but the bottom line is we have a team that is intentional. We have a GM that is intentional in making sure we have a lot of picks. Now, we're probably not going to get 11, 12, 13 every single year, but we have for several years had that many picks, as long as Gutekunst has been here. You get what you emphasize. And the Green Bay Packers know how to do it right. I mean, on some level, evaluation has to be a part of the process. But if you handicap yourself and give yourself 5-6 picks or less compared to making sure you're building, listen, it's the Packers that make decisions like trading away Rasul Douglas for a third round pick. I don't think a lot of teams make that decision. They make the hard decisions that are going to have future benefits. Would Rasul even be here right now? If we kept him for the rest of the year, would he still be here? I don't know. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I have to think he wasn't a part of the long-term plans if that third-round pick really seemed appealing. It's about priorities. And while the Packers are already looking ahead to how can we stack more picks, how can we get more, the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings all traded away 2025 picks to get a little bit more this year, with some of these teams being nowhere near able to compete. Some doing it multiple times. This is why slow and steady is going to win the race. Sometimes, you're going to miss on a bunch of picks, and sometimes other teams are going to get lucky and they're going to hit out a bunch of picks, and you're going to go through those things. But over the course of time, the Packers have established the right way of doing business. And as long as you stick to that, you're going to have more success over the long run than other teams who do not hold to these principles. And these aren't like secret things that people don't know. You think the Vikings don't know? You think Mr. Data Kwesi, the GM for the Vikings, doesn't know that more picks is more value? He does. Of course he knows that. But he went against his better judgment. Okay. See how that pans out. So, I mean, we didn't just have more picks in the NFC North this year. We've had more picks than the rest of the NFC North pretty much every year, and we'll probably have so again next year. I think the Lions had a ton of picks last year, but those are anomalies. We're going to have more picks than all of them next year, too. And when you have more picks, you take more swings, you end up with better players. Because at the end of the day, luck plays a much bigger factor in the draft than anybody wants to admit. And when luck is as big of a factor as it is, all that the most important thing is multiple swings.
What's going on, Modern Firefighter? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Couple things. One, I appreciate your draft update. I call with my initial feelings on the draft, and I said I like the day ones better than day twos. But the day twos growing on me.
Yeah.
Agreed. Looking up info on them, and you always got to go positive with the draft. You can't go negative, as you never know. It's like a lot of, you don't buy a lot of tickets there, thinking negative. The best thing about buying a lot of tickets is
buy a lot of tickets. I hate these freaking numbers. I hate the lottery. I hate money. All right, let's just relax.
Daydreaming about you winning for the next 8 to 2 days, or 24 hours or whatever, whenever you get a ticket. That's the best part about it.
34, freaking 34.
Then after that, when you realize you lose, you're like, oh, well, that's kind of how you got to think of the draft. It's just luck and a little bit of skill. But I was calling because I appreciate your updates on everybody else's team in our division. But most importantly, my favorite thing about the episode was the song. You need to put that on, be able to like download on your Spotify, load that song. I don't know.
I think I'm going to try to do that today. I'm going to try to rip through this. And then tonight I'm going to work on starting a YouTube channel. And I don't know what I'm going to call it. I can probably change it. So I'll do something temporarily. And then you guys can call in, let me know what you think about it, give me some ideas for it, and I'll just start uploading songs on there. I don't know if anybody's going to care other than the callers, but I can't just let... That's the thing. I'm making so many songs, and for every song, I'm generating like 10. Because you're trying to find the right one. Like, no, that's not right. And then you try a different genre, and then you try different lyrics. And so these songs get so buried. They got to go somewhere. They can't just disappear.
The program name, if you said that program when you're making music, but that's awesome. It sounded, you know, I like my boy rock like that sometimes in the mood, and that song, I will play that all day, especially around my NFC North compadres that I know. So definitely, if you can post that on your Spotify or on your YouTube or something, you know, or even release it. I don't know if you can release the rights to stuff like that or not. But definitely talk a little bit more about that on our next episode. Give us an update what the program name is. I like to make some stuff up too as well. Just play around with it. All right, thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, so I looked at the whatchamacallit, the rights or whatever. And I'm not reading all that crap, but I just copy and pasted it over to the robot and just asked a bunch of questions. And the bottom line is I'm not allowed to sell it and make money on it and stuff like that, which makes sense. I mean, you know, I didn't think I could, but it would be cool. It'd be cool if they were just like, I don't care. You do whatever you want with it. But I can, you know, use the music. I can't claim it as though I have the rights to it and distribute it and sell records or whatever. I don't think that would apply to YouTube. I don't know what would happen if the YouTube videos got monetized. I mean, that would take forever anyways. Getting monetized takes a billion years, but I don't know. Don't need to worry about it in the meantime, I guess. But yeah, there's a bunch of different sites that you can use for music generation, and I'm sure they're all just going to keep getting better. But the one I've been using is just called Udio. It's like studio without the ST. So pretty, pretty cool. I'm excited about it. It's going to suck the day that people can just generate their own Packers podcasts, because I don't know what I'm going to do at that point. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm digging it.
Hey, Ryan. This is Bob.
Hey, Trucker Bob.
I'm here on I-10 going through Louisiana, being chased by a storm, which
is
right behind us. So we're racing the storm to see who gets to Florida first. Anyways, you were talking on your podcast about the draft philosophy. And I came up with one, and I thought I'd talk to you about it.
Perfect.
Number one, people talk about taking the best player available in the draft. However, I'd like to put it this way. When you're drafting, if there's a blue-chip player, you always pick him.
Right.
For example, when we had Brett Favre as quarterback, we really weren't looking for a replacement quarterback. However, when Aaron Rodgers dropped down to us, we took him because we figured he was a blue-chip player.
So I do wonder about that because, I mean, we obviously knew we were getting down to the last few years of Brett Favre. If this was 1996, would we have drafted Aaron Rodgers? Or if it was 2011, would we have drafted Jordan Love? I don't really think so. I know the Packers would probably say yes. I don't know. I feel like there would be enough wiggle room for them to find a way out of it. And again, it would be simple enough. They would find somebody else that agrees with them and would pay them accordingly. So then the hypothetical would come down to, what if you're the only team and they're a blue chip prospect and nobody else is willing to pay that because et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think that they would do it. I really don't. Maybe they would. That's sort of the one exception. And I know it seems foolish because why would that be the one exception when it's the most important position? But it's the most important position. QB1 is the most important position. QB2 is not. The value of QB2 compared to wide receiver 2 is actually lesser, right? If you were to rank in order, you know, you got QB1, then you got like your left tackle, then you got, you know, the right tackle, pass rusher, whatever. You go down the list. You would end up repeating a bunch of stuff before you got to QB2. And so really the only argument comes in where you talk about assuming they even pan out, assuming they become so great, and everybody knows it, which is going to be hard for everybody to know it, because a lot of quarterbacks look elite in the preseason. That doesn't mean somebody's going to give up 3 first-rounders to get them. So there would have to be a point at which your guy goes down, and then he comes in and tears it up, and then you trade him for 2-3 first-round picks or something crazy. And even that probably wouldn't happen because nothing's guaranteed unless your quarterback goes out for a year and he ends up being, in which case you keep him. I don't know. But it's such a minuscule, like the odds of that scenario actually playing out are so low that I find it almost impossible that the value is going to be worth it, I guess is what I'm saying.
I understand in the strictest sense you do it. I just would love for somebody to explain to me the probability that that ends up being a positive value proposition, a net positive, you know, value over replacement, meaning any other position, right? Because again, multiple wide, your fifth wide receiver probably is going to get on the field. QB2 is not. Your third tight end is going to get more action and usually produce more value than your QB2. How much did our QB2 produce last year? Well, I mean, technically, probably negative. I mean, if all he's doing is going out and taking knees, generally, it's negative value. I mean, you know, it's positive, but if you show up on an actual stat sheet, it's just a negative rushing yard or whatever. But so that's the only scenario, and I'm not trying to like derail your overall point, which I agree with. That's just the one thing that I'm kind of just stuck on, and I can't quite say that I know that the Packers would do it, and that I know that even if the Packers would do it, that I know that it's the right thing to do.
Another example would have been when Aaron Rodgers was quarterback, and I bet you Green Bay had Love tagged as a blue chip player, so when they could grab him, they could, even though they probably weren't looking for a quarterback as a number one draft pick that year.
Not specifically. I mean, it wasn't like a we must have it, but we got into that window where we need to start looking. I think that's where we were at. We were in a window where we knew in the next, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years at the most, we were going to have to make a switch. So it was at least on the table. So yeah, I agree. In that situation, if you identify that blue chip, and I don't know if they would have called him blue chip necessarily, but a high enough tier, if he's the highest guy on your board, and of course you weight it heavier because he's a quarterback, you have to pull the trigger, whereas most teams wouldn't. And I agree with that. But again, my question comes in, if it's 2011, do you make that same decision? I don't know that you should.
So the first choice in any draft, when you have a first round draft pick, is you always take a blue chip player. For example, the Bears took the number one blue chip quarterback.
And again, sorry to keep interrupting you. To be clear, at least as far as my definition, the Packers have almost never had the opportunity to actually draft blue chip players. I don't know if they considered Rashawn Gary a blue chip player. When I think blue chip player, I'm thinking like Bosa, whether it's Joey or Nick. I'm thinking Khalil Mack. I'm talking those guys in the top 3 to 5 range, the sort of elite can't miss whatever. You know, I don't think Darnell Savage was a blue chipper. I don't honestly think they thought Jordan Love was blue chip. Maybe Rashawn, especially the way they were talking. I know the pass rush coach thought he was the best pass rusher in the class. He may have been a blue chipper. I think Jordan Morgan, I will never remember his name. I don't think they didn't see him as a blue chip prospect. There's no way. So just adding clarity to my thought on that blue chip situation.
Back on the board, let's say for some crazy reason, he dropped all the way down to Green Bay later in the draft. Green Bay would have taken him because he was a blue-chip player. So, you always take the blue-chip player regardless of position. That does sure. not necessarily mean you always take the best player available. After that, your second choice is going to be you take the best player available according to your needs. Green sure. Bay's needs this year were linebacker, safety, offensive line, and you could also say running back. So every time the Packers had a draft choice, they would take the best player available according to their needs. We took an offensive lineman in the first round. Let's say our next pick, the best player available according to our needs was an offensive lineman, we probably would have taken him too. That appears to be how Green Bay runs the draft.
Sure.
They take the best player available according to their needs, and our needs this last year were offensive line, linebacker, safety, and then running back. That appears to be exactly how they choose. Then after they met their needs, they then chose best player available. Trickle Bob out. Made it in 3 minutes. Yay!
Yeah, I think given the couple little caveats and question marks that I would have thrown in there, I think you're probably exactly right. But again, I genuinely think there are very few blue chips. And I also think that the way that it generally works is, you know, if we just thought about it in terms of tiers, let's just say, because I don't remember how the color system goes after that. But how many tier one guys? I mean, a lot of times, honestly, the answer is zero. I mean, most of the time, the answer, I would say, is zero. How many tier one guys are there? How many tier two? Maybe five. Tier three, you know, 12. Tier four, 30. The point is, I think it starts to kind of widen. It's a pyramid, and it gets wider as you go down. And so it becomes much more sort of linear, you know, a vertical board early, kind of like what you were talking about. It doesn't matter the position, you take the best player, because I think when you're early in the draft, there are only a couple guys, and the gap between maybe the fourth best and the third best might be massive. By the time you get to the third round, it's kind of a pile of guys that we like around the same, and so it becomes easier to take the player that fits your needs the best. So I don't actually know that theoretically you and I are viewing this any differently, because I think it just comes down to value, right? I mean, so if there's a blue chipper, in other words, a guy on a higher tier, you take him. I think that's true regardless. But it's just very rare later on that there's only one left in that tier. And like I said, if you absolutely refuse to take it, which I don't think would happen, they would probably do it no matter what, you trade back and you get some extra value. But I just think it's probably more likely you end up with just one guy and something crazy happening early, as opposed to later when you have multiple options. It would be interesting to know, though, how many, you know, we toss around blue chip a lot. And I know, for example, I've seen the tier system out of 10 where there's like a 9.5 to a 10. I think NFL.com does that. Very often there's zero in that category. It's like once in a lifetime or once in a generation type player or whatever. And a lot of times there's none or maybe one pass rusher or something in that category. All right. That was, again, like Nick Bosa would have been probably in that category. Just an absolute freak show. I mean, and maybe not even. Maybe not even. I don't know what blue chip would encapsulate or generally translate to. Would that be like the top five, the top 10, top 20, first round? I don't really know. But in my mind, blue chip are those really rare pieces that usually you only get around the top three. And the only variability is quarterbacks, right? The top pass rushers, the top tackles, the top this, that, or the other. And then the quarterbacks, sometimes the quarterbacks are blue chip, and sometimes they just go top three because they're quarterbacks and kind of push some of the top three out of the top three. So sometimes they'll make it to five or whatever. But generally, you don't see those guys, especially where the Packers end up picking. I mean, even when they're picking 12-ish, I would be stunned if there was somebody that was considered a blue chip. But I could just be wrong about the way that they define blue chip. Anyways, why don't we take a break? We'll be right back and hear from Garrett in Southern Illinois. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, Pat Daddy, it's Garrett from Southern Illinois.
What's up?
I just wanted to share my thoughts a little bit more on expanding on the draft pick Pratt from Tulane. And another podcast kind of beat me to it, but I'm going to share it anyways. It got me thinking, Green Bay has had a real knack for having some backups that went on to play pro teams that did quite well. And this dates back. I remember when Mark Brunell was a backup and Ty Detmer was a backup at the same time behind Brett Favre. And they both went on to have, well, Brunell went on to have a pretty good career with the Jaguars, and Ty Detmer was a serviceable quarterback. But following that up, we had Matt Hasselbeck, who went on to play with Seattle and had a pretty good career with them. Aaron Brooks, who went on to have a pretty good career with New Orleans for a short time. So it just kind of gives me confidence that their system, they've been doing this for a while. They've been developing quarterbacks for other teams for quite a while. And so I'm really confident that Pratt will be another one of those guys that they possibly could get a third round pick eventually, you know, for a team that really needs it.
You there?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But, you know, I think it's just one of the most processes that.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
You're all right.
It's one of those processes that I think that we all can appreciate and understand where Green Bay is coming from when they do this. So trust the process, and we'll see what happens. I'm out.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope that's the situation. I don't have an issue, especially when it's later round. I mean, when we talk about first round, I get a little iffy. You start talking about, you know, fifth, sixth rounders and trying to flip them for second, third rounders, like, all right. I mean, especially when you talk about, I mean, the primary goal is to be a good enough quarterback to get us through a slump where Jordan is injured. That's number one. And then if we can use you for that purpose and then only lose you insofar as getting some decent value, which, you know, I don't know what that would look like, but then I guess that's great. But I guess I just kind of need to see it. I want to see the process in action. We haven't really seen it, at least not anytime recently. It'd be kind of interesting to go back and look. Not only what did the Packers get for those individuals, but looking at the process overall, how many other quarterbacks did they take? How much value have they given up for backup quarterbacks, and how much have they gotten in return, whether that be value as backups or through trades, and just kind of see how that's overall looked.
Hey, Ryan Danner from California.
Yo.
My cousin is a fan in Iowa, and the one thing he's like leaned onto now is that the Vikings are a better culture that know how to treat people. That's all they got. That's the only thing that they have to take pride in. And yeah, like sometimes we like treat people shitty on the way out, but we're overall, we take care of people. We send the guys that we invest in. We really put a lot of time in. The Packers are just a better organization. But really, the only thing I ever hear is like, yeah, we're a better culture. And yeah, they actually are a pretty good, like, team to their players and stuff. But I don't know. We have a winning culture. That sounds like a better culture to me. That's all I got. I don't have nothing else to push their buttons, but yeah. I don't know. Goody's better than Spielman. Goody's better than Questy. And they would agree with Questy, but I don't know. They have no pride, you know. Maybe you could say the Zimmer defense wasn't that good, even though we know it was. Not much to say about Vikings fans, but that's the only thing I can think of. Go Pack, go.
Well, and I don't even necessarily agree with that, considering they had a head coach who was routinely bashing their players every single week and talking about how much they sucked, considering that they had a star wide receiver that forced himself off the team. I don't know that I would necessarily agree that they just have this magical culture that everybody just loves and everybody wants to be there. I'm sure players that leave are not happy. Players that are not paid are not happy. I mean, that's going to happen. You know, sometimes you get respect and sometimes you get people that get ticked off and they got a chip on their shoulder and blah, blah, blah. And it's not even necessarily a knock on the Vikings to say that they did something to call. I mean, the coach thing was a Vikings thing. But to have players try to force their way off like Stephon Diggs did, that's probably more of a Stephon Diggs thing than anything else. But that's the point, right? It's players get pissy and then you get a reputation like, well, it's not the players being pissy. It's just, it's, you know, whatever they're saying is true. No, they're just pissy. So I wouldn't even give ground on that one. I not that it's even really an interesting argument, because I don't think there's anything wrong with the Packers culture. I like the way that they handle business. Aside from Coach Zimmer, who is no longer there, who was kind of a D-bag to his own players, I don't know anything bad about the Vikings. So I just, it's a stupid, it's so stupid. And the only reason he's even going with that is because he's buying into that nonsense that the Packers treat their players wrong because Rodgers said so. And we've already established all Rodgers is really talking about is his friends didn't get paid and he wanted them to. Jordy was disrespected. Why? Well, they lowballed him. Okay, so what you're saying is if you don't want to give them top-end money, just don't offer them anything, right? Well, no, if you don't offer them anything, that's even more disrespectful. Okay, so I can't not offer them anything. So I have to offer them something, but I can't offer them what I think that they're worth because that would be disrespectful. So I have to offer them what they think they're worth. Otherwise, you're being disrespectful. It's stupid. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Daniel from California's got one more for us.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Ryan, Denham, California again. I was just thinking about the Packers offense and the predictions I made last year. And with the offense we have, right, Matt LaFleur, Shanahan system, and just everything that goes with it. Last year, my predictions were a good season would be around 30 touchdowns and expecting, I think I was expecting around 26, right? And, you know, look where we are now. We had 31 touchdowns. We had a good season. So my expectations, right, now, because he set his baseline the first year as a starter with half the season not being the greatest, right? He set that standard as 31. So I think a baseline for him, do 32 touchdowns. That's going to be the, if he has an okay season, it's 32 touchdowns because we know if he has some low parts in the season, he still can have some hot streaks that can get him to that. But I think he has the capability of having 40 touchdowns. And the offense as a general, I think that Josh Jacobs could have 15 touchdowns. Marshawn Lloyd could have another 5, right? So it's just an explosive offense, which leads me to my point. Like, we got to start coming up with a nickname for what this is. Because we could, very versatile, right? Because we can attack you in multiple different ways. We move the ball quickly. We can do it by, you know, moving down the field slowly. We can do it by taking these big shots, right? just moving with speed and ferocity. I came up with the Titletown Blitzkrieg. That's the using tap sheet GPT. That's the best I can come
like
up
ballroom
with.
Ballroom Blitzkrieg?
I wonder what you could come up with or anybody else could come up with. I think this offense has the ability to be special. I know we got to play the Bears, who have a pretty good defense now, right? I think they have. I don't like using the word top five because you can't predict defense year to year, but I'll say they have a top eight defense, right? Once you get out of that top five range, it opens up and gives you that room for like, all right, they have good defense, but it's like not crazy, right? But the Lions have a good defense, even though they give up some big stuff in the passing game. They have a good defense. The Vikings, you know, they have a complex defense. I know Jordan tore it up, but the first time they didn't. Oh, it's about to cut off on me, huh? Well, that's all I got. Go back, go.
Barroom Blitz is such a good song. Always makes me think of Wayne's World. It'd be interesting to see, like, what the identity of the offense even is. I mean, I feel like we still don't really know. We haven't, first of all, seen everybody healthy all together. We haven't really seen the tight ends come into their full selves. We still don't even know what the full, you know, what our wide receivers are. We essentially have a whole new running back room. So I feel like Matt LaFleur kind of has to start over a little bit in terms of trying to get the best out of the guys that he has, because what does he have? How to best put these guys in positions to succeed? Like, what is the identity? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But that'll probably help to inform what the name should be, you know? If it's going to be big power backs, downhill, lots of tight end stuff, it's going to be different than if we're spreading it out and throwing all over the yard. But you know, it's funny, too, to sound like an old man, but the longer I do this, the more things just don't fit into nice boxes at all, you know? Like, we want the defense to be top five, top eight, whatever. Or the team to be just good. It's like, things change so much. You know, I always say, like, the first few weeks is like preseason before you kind of get a picture of what things are. But that's not true. You never really get a picture of the way things are because things aren't a certain way. Things constantly change over time, and it just kind of becomes a couple different questions. Number one, did you do enough over the regular season to get into the playoffs? And then number two, what are you when you're in the playoffs? And that's where, you know, discipline and that stuff comes in, because a lack of variability is very valuable. The more volatile you are, this is the biggest knock I've had on the Buffalo Bills for a long time. They're an extreme, and Dallas too. They're a team that, you know, very high in like point differential, right? Because they just smoke teams. They lose small and win big. But they're extremely volatile, and they're constantly up and down and up and down, and they'll blow out a team and then lose to somebody they have no business losing to. And it's you can't be that style of team and expect to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's possible, but it's just very, very difficult. That's why, you know, teams like the Patriots, very disciplined, and even the Chiefs, it's just consistency. It's you know, they have some variability up and down, but pretty much week to week you're gonna get the same Chiefs team that you always get. But you know, I can't even answer questions about the past, like were the Packers a top 10 this or that? Like, well, it kind of depends. Like, if you look at this time, no. If you look at this time, yes. If you look at the season, no. If you look at this, just got to get very specific with the questions, I guess.
You know, just reflecting on some of the things that happened in the draft and some things you mentioned about, I guess draft nerd saying that, the, you can't get a steal. You can only get, like if somebody falls from the draft, that person was probably, and you go up and you reach, it probably is a reach versus sure. The ones that fall to you, they probably fell for a good reason and that idea. And it kind of just dawned on me, well, yeah, it makes sense because if somebody falls, that means 32 whole teams did not feel that he reflected, you know, that he should have gone higher. 32 teams said that he shouldn't have gone higher. Whereas if you pick a guy early, you have no idea what the other 31 teams thought of him. If somebody falls, quote unquote, all we really know is that if you think that, you know, the consensus draft board is, you could think of them as a team, probably a pretty, you know, a pretty crappy team that's not even good enough to be on an actual NFL franchise. That crappy team had them ranked high, just like your whoever team goes up and goes for like a, that reaches on a guy, just like the consensus draft board is reaching on these players with their consensus. So, I would love to be able to see what a consensus draft board would look like of all the NFL teams. That would be fascinating to see how well that lined up with the talent levels of the different teams and wondering how much we are departing from other teams. The only example I can come up with is I remember the year that Cowboys draft board got leaked and they had Daytone Jones as like a third round value. And yeah, you know, honestly, he probably was more of a third round value. And then you look at the rest of their board and honestly, they had a lot of misses. It'd be kind of cool to see, you know, compare all the different boards from that long ago and just see how they all match up and line up and get averages. But anyways, I guess there's no question there. Just some thoughts.
Yeah, and kind of similar to what I was talking about with Trucker Bob, similar to how it kind of grows in terms of how many fit into that pile. You've also got massive divergence, right? Like most teams have roughly the same top 10. None of these teams have the same like 190 to 200. It's not a thing. So, yeah, it starts to get pretty weird and wild. And obviously the Packers are at the top of, like, you know, drafting those guys. It's like, what is this? What? So, yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting. I know, another example, not specific or anything in terms of we knew where people had anybody ranked, but when the Patriots took, what's his name, Cole something, the interior offensive lineman, and even the Rams, McVay made fun of him, like, stupid idiots. So, yeah, it's pretty weird and wild stuff. But I tell you what, it's getting a lot later. I had a little bit of an interruption, so I'm going to have to cut it off kind of abruptly here. But I want to make sure that I get this up to you tonight, especially since I was thinking about just finishing it tomorrow and uploading it tomorrow. But since I've got the announcement for the giveaway and all that, I wanted to be able to make sure that this gets posted. So you guys have a good night. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.